So let's bring it to real estate.
Yeah. Yes.
First to real estate agents, mm-hmm. because for people who are your clients who really absorb a lot of other people's fear, paranoia, you know, I know we wear a million hats. Mm-hmm. We always have to be super, we can't just like be expressive. We can't say what we want to say like the kids.
Yeah.
We have to be classier than that and politically correct and follow the rules and do that. And sometimes you just want to say, hey, you're being a douchebag right now.
I would say in those instances, it's really from a mindset perspective, it's important to then think bigger. What outcome deserves my attention? Those five words. What outcome deserves my attention? Yeah.
Welcome to season 3, episode 3 of Under All Is the Land. I am your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars in our rock star new studio, Miss Soka Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hello.
We're digging this.
Yes,
I am
so comfy
on the couch.
I love it.
I'm way more comfortable.
Yeah, yes. I feel free, liberated from the table.
Oh. It's cozy. It's living room vibey, and
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's a conversation spot.
It's like we moving from desk job to entrepreneur.
Yeah, working from home job, cushy COVID job.
Cushy, but now we have to always like coordinate our outfits because you can see legs. Maybe shoes.
Oh, well, maybe I don't think we're going to see too many legs. Maybe yours, because you have such long legs
right
that occupy a lot of the frame.
Real
I don't
estate.
Know. Yes, exactly. So, Neek, how's everything going?
Let her swallow her tea first.
I have to swallow my tea or I might spill it.
Okay. Oh. Well, spill it.
Oh man, everything is definitely everything.
Yeah.
I was 23.
I'm really, 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 really ready for this year of the rabbit thing that the lady was talking. Yeah, she said February.
February.
I'm like really hoping for an earlier start.
Yeah. Oh,
because I have to tell you, again, I've said it before, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I'm realizing that buyers have PTSD from bad deals and they are taking it out on the listing they get accepted on, like 100%. My seller on one of my last closings went above and beyond in every conceivable way. And yet the buyers are just unhappy. And then we had a deal where the sellers went above and beyond, but to be fair, that was a little bit more complicated, but it just feels like it's very difficult to make people feel like they're getting what they paid for, I guess.
It's happening to me too, right now. It's like, you know, literally the sellers are the nicest people you could ever meet. Like, they literally have done everything. Like, and they did it before contingencies were moved. You know, they just went straight for doing all repairs. They did extra repairs. They did so many things. And literally, they probably overbuilt this house already. Like, it is one of the best flips that I have ever seen in terms of like completeness, but the buyer is just nitpicking every little tiny thing that she can possibly find. And you know, like, it's just, it's beyond. I'm like, you know, these little things, they are house things. They
it's
are
right.
just
it's
things
the,
that
like
come with being a homeowner. Yeah.
Things, yeah.
Is the, the buyer's agent helping them?
Oh, no,
or
she's definitely encouraging it. She's encouraging it.
That's the next thing. I think we need to coach our buyers, like, look, don't be D's in this situation.
Right.
It's not going to be 100%.
Well,
nothing
I mean, it's
is
hard.
Ever 100%.
No, nothing's 100%.
So
but I have also noticed maybe it's because people are so hungry for deals these days. Like, now it feels like we're in a scarcity moment. When it's not it's not really true. It's psychological.
No.
Which is kind of what we were talking about and what we're going to talk about today with mindset. But the idea that you don't know where the next deal is going to come from makes you bend over backwards, not coach your clients right, have no control over them, and just let their fear and paranoia run the show.
Yeah, the same is to be said for sellers.
Agreed.
They think, we don't get another offer, this is the only thing we have, so let's do what we can. But in reality, it's like, well, it's never not just that one.
Right.
There will be more, but Right. Again, everybody's coming from fear.
Fear.
And
yeah.
that's when things don't work. What did Heather say last week on our show? You cannot manifest out of fear.
Right. You can't manifest out of fear. It makes absolute sense. You know, I remember learning about this with money. Because, you know, raised the way we were raised, it's like money was always consciousness in our, you know, in our family, in our lives, like everybody, you know, like who isn't born rich, right?
Yeah.
And as I really, whenever I got into real estate, I realized how limiting my idea about money was. It felt like this thing that I could never get enough of. And no matter how hard I worked or how competent I was, I never felt satisfied by the reception I was getting from my bosses and from the reward I was getting for my hard work or the dedication or showing up on time. It never felt like I was getting enough for what I put in. And I was probably right, you know? Mm-hmm. It does work to the advantage of bosses to have people working really hard who don't think they're good enough. That's the funny thing about money. Mm-hmm. But once you realize you actually are valuable, that you do have something to share that is worthwhile, that you are a consultant and not just a salesperson, that your experience has actually merit to it, and you know what I mean? You realize, no, I earn every single penny that I make, every single penny I make, and I know there are more people available who need my help. I know that.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like, oh my God, where's the next deal gonna come from? I'm like, the universe will send me the flow. Like it comes, it goes, mm-hmm. but I'm not holding on to things mm-hmm. so tightly like I did. And I do think that that's alleviated that feeling of scarcity. Just letting it be a flow. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I made a lot this month. Now I can do something I really wanted to do. Oh, right. I'm not gonna make so much next month. Okay, I'm gonna tighten the bootstraps mm-hmm. here, da, da, da. You know, mm-hmm. it's a flow.
Yeah.
It's a cycle, cyclical.
Yeah.
Comes and goes, and
it comes and goes. I mean, the art of it is to not overspend when you're doing really well, so then you freak out when the market shifts and you feel like you're not gonna be able to pay your mortgage, and you know, you start letting your clients run the show, and then that bleeds into having the other agent and the other seller feel a certain type of way. I mean, it's like a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, you're sitting there with yourself and your thoughts and your mind. You know, in your house, trying to have your moment, have your wine, and like decompress, and you realize how much we take on of other people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a space where like we don't really talk about it enough, the mental health part of being a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. You know,
true.
I mean, it's so true.
It's true. It especially can drive you mad.
Yeah, especially if you're an empath and a real estate agent. So you're feeling everybody's like fears, everybody's like, you know, like high strung feelings, and they're like, you know, chaotic thoughts, and you're taking all that energy on, and then like, where do you get to output it?
Yeah, exactly. The gym. That's it, really. Or meditation doesn't work for me.
We need to go axe throwing. That we need to go to an axe throwing place or a place where you can take a sledgehammer and just destroy
something. But still, even that's not consistent enough to give you.
Of course, that's just the fun little something.
Yeah, it's a fun something. Like, I'm down to break a toilet with a hammer or something.
There you
go. I'm just saying, like, you know, I do think you have to have a constant awareness. Like, I tell myself in the car when I'm driving, it's their stress, it's not my stress. It's their stress, it's not my stress. Whenever agents call me and they're freaking out, or whenever clients call me and they're freaking out, I'm like, it's their fear, it's not my fear.
Until
it's
you
their
pull
fear,
up to the curb and you see the client jumping up and down, and you're like, whoa, that fear just went into me. It's my fear too.
Well, I try not to let it be my fear too. And it's so funny because I was saying to her last night, we went to Topgolf, okay? Nico's had a great time. My son had an awesome time, loved it so much. But we had a 3:45 reservation. They got there early. Mm-hmm. They pushed our reservation. We finally got a bay. It's like 5:00. Some other guys come up to our bay and they're like, this is our bay. And then the people that work there were like, I'm sorry, this is their bay. Kicked us out of the bay they just told us to go to. And I was really ready to freaking lose it, because now we've been waiting for so long. Mm-hmm. No food. I'm like having hangry. Low blood sugar, hangry. You know, it's just miserable. There's no really place for us to sort of like be. And, you know, it was just restless and miserable. And then finally they apologized and they made us wait another 15 minutes. And then finally we had our own bay. It was like mismanaged from top to bottom. And I'm losing it. Mm-hmm. Nika's like, calm down. Like, it's going to be okay.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, you know, because you are funny because you have the capacity to be the calm down diplomat. And I would actually say in our family, you have that diplomatic quality. Like you serve that purpose, you know, in our family. But when you get worked up, man, it's like you can't calm this girl down. Like she is on fire. She's on fire.
That is true. Well, you know, like I try to keep a cool head as long as I can. But right. when people keep pushing and pushing and pushing, what is actually a flame-breathing dragon inside, you know, yeah. at one point, it's I'm like... going to put those fucking flames in your face, you know?
Like the pin was pulled out of the grenade.
I try to keep it cool. I try to keep it cool because sometimes you need that, you know, like the thing that, like yesterday, right? Yeah. The thing that was... that I was trying to keep cool was like, you know, I was just happy to be there with you guys right. and enjoy that moment.
I know.
It was like a break from a stressful day. And it was stressful. Like, those honestly, the employees could have given a fuck. Like, right. they honestly didn't
they
care.
They didn't care.
It didn't seem like they were making any effort to try to make what was clearly done wrong on their end, which is, you know, I mean, it's a new Topgolf
in El Segundo.
Just saying. It's a new Topgolf, so, you know, like, they're probably getting their systems together and trying to figure that out, but, you know, it was so mismanaged, and it was like, and they put it on us, you know? It wasn't like, oh, let us fix it.
Let us make this right for you. It was like, just wait longer. Yeah. Move from this bay.
Yeah. Your reservation's been pushed out an hour, you know, and now we're switching you out after you waited, like, 20 minutes beyond the hour to get sat, and now you have to wait another 20 minutes. But right. you know
Did
what?
You get the manager involved and get some free Topgolf.
Well, we sent the cooler head, Sam, to that negotiation. And we did get some free gameplay. So that was good.
Cool.
They should have done that. I mean, they really should have. But my point is, we all have our limits to where, you know. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I was ready for my lid to blow. And I feel like, you know, I guess I would say, like, how we go through our day does affect our family life. It does affect the stuff that happens afterwards and our temper. And, you know, I was hot-tempered last night, even still, you know. It was just a little bit of a frustrating night, no matter what. So that just kind of added insult to injury. So today we are honored to have this guest, Laura St. John. She is going to teach us how to use our mind to set better goals, to achieve success, to have more control. It's a mindset game, this thing. And I'm really excited to hear what she has to say and how we can apply it to our real estate careers.
Can't wait.
Welcome, Laura St. John. Welcome. We're so excited to have you here. All month long, we have been talking about the power of our mind. Neek got us on this trip with neuroplasticity. She watched a podcast, and now it's all we can talk about.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yes. I mean,
it is changing our lives a little bit, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, like, you know, in real estate, they say there's the business of the business, which is like the higher level stuff, and then there's the day-to-day. And I will say that recently, it feels to me like I'm much more engaged in the day-to-day than that, like, bigger mindset stuff. So I made a commitment this year. One of my goals is to keep being like being aware of my focus on the business of the business stuff way more than being in the weeds fighting little tiny stupid wars that I don't need to stress myself out about. And so I feel like that, even just that shift for me, is going to be huge. So what we're really excited to hear from you is how you got here and how you can coach other people into their highest self, their best self, and like you said, get them unstuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I consider myself like a professional unstucker. A lot of times when you're feeling really powerless or you're feeling really stuck, you're in a limited mindset. So my job is to help people see past those struggles into, you know, the results that they do want and access that version of them faster.
How did you get here? How did you choose this career?
I think this career chose me.
Okay.
Ever since I was a very little girl, I've had a wild imagination. And whenever anyone came up to me feeling stuck or that like had any kind of question, I could use the power of my imagination to like see the next step that they needed to keep them on their path. So I've, you know, also recognized a lot of times when people were in like massive struggle, even life or death situations, that they held a more positive outcome for themselves. And I could see how the power of their mind led them there. So I had some interesting personal experiences as well as then professional experiences that led me to where I am today.
Okay.
Coaching celebrities.
Okay.
And
coaching big celebrities
and you know
with like, celebrities mm-hmm. are they as like psychologically messed up as we think they are?
I mean, what whenever I hang up with someone who you know has millions of followers or whatever, I am always like, you know, I know my job is to reach the masses, not just the people who also find me in terms of celebrities and athletes and stuff. But they have the same struggles magnified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is the same exact stuff, but on sometimes a much bigger level because they're in the public spotlight.
Just a couple days ago, I was talking with somebody. They said that, oh, it was the agent on this house. I'm an escrow on the listing agent. He lives in the house that Michael Jackson's doctor mm-hmm. used to live in. Mm-hmm. And Michael Jackson had a studio in there, a dance studio.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. You got Michael Jackson's like dance vibes in there. The studio's still there.
Oh, fun.
And he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, like I said, I really honestly don't think Michael Jackson did it. That's just me. I just don't. Okay. But here's a more important piece of it. I'm like, this man has been so traumatized through his life that he, you know, if he finds children safer, more honest, I bet that's to some degree the way that a lot of celebrities feel, where you have sycophants and people who always want something from you. You can't get a straight answer. You can't trust anybody. And then there are very few people, like your family or something you think you can trust. And even sometimes those relationships don't result in like Britney Spears can't trust her family. Like people, it must be very isolating. That's what I meant. Like it must be a mind fuck on some level to have that much. Every move yes. you make could be a lawsuit. Yeah. Every word you say could be a lawsuit. Also, every interaction.
Every person that is talking to you think they're interested in me because of who I am, my name.
It's hard to know
not
who's genuine.
Me.
Yeah.
Right. So it's difficult. How do you have real friends if your name is Brad Pitt?
And right, maybe you don't share who you really are with very many people anyway.
Right.
So I would say like
imagine. Because it'll end up in some tabloids at one point if that person gets mad at you.
Yeah. I would say imagine your own problems or struggles that like are even sometimes silently on your shoulders and nothing for them is very silent, so everything gets exposed, and it's just you know, it's a lot.
I can't even walk naked through the house.
It doesn't seem like it's worth money.
No, this easy, these days, it's as easy as just taking a sound bite, and that could ruin someone.
Everything,
you know,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so if there's a celebrity, because maybe there are celebrities watching this show right now who need some mindset help, so in those situations where it's like a huge, like. Everything's magnified. People feel very depressed. I mean, there are a lot of people who commit suicide and that kind of thing. What are some of the tips that you give people in that situation?
I mean, first of all, we're all human. It's like power of struggle is something that every single person can relate to. There's no one on this planet Earth who has not struggled at some point in some area of their life. So not to normalize it, but first like a ding ding like moment of awareness that you're normal, like this is just magnified, and it doesn't mean that any person here in the audience is not feeling the same size of a struggle on their shoulders. It's just, what do you do in the face of struggle? Do you, you know, can you see beyond it, or are you just feeling stuck in the down spiral of it? So all my tools are to show people very like step-by-step how-tos, because there's so much philosophy out there on mindset. Like a lot of people are like,
oh, yeah.
Well, just, you know, get rid of your limiting beliefs. Just be more confident. But people are like, but how? So what I created was the but how through very like tangible steps for people, because I don't think like discounting anyone's struggles. I think they're all, you know, they're also like personal to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so sometimes like the ones that we don't want to share publicly are the toughest ones. So how do you develop the mindset again to see past that struggle to the actual reality that you want to create? So I kind of got known in the manifesting world because it really is the power of your thoughts and harnessing your emotional strength and your actions towards an outcome that you desire. So you're really like moving. I'm like kind of the coach for the now moving forward. I don't poke at people's problems in the past. But there's like a lot of modalities and therapies that, you know,
that do.
Past
yeah, they try to like get
that's
in there.
Not me. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally
get
that.
I'm here for the now moving forward. Like, what do you want? Everything led you here. Tap into self-trust, like not to diminish the size of that. But how do you start to see past that and develop the version that you want to become?
Did you do Landmark?
No.
Do you have ever done any of those kinds of tests and all that stuff?
No.
No, this is all just came from you.
It completely was an experience that I grew an education company to hundreds of locations. I worked with kids who are like the most truthful beings on the planet. Like, you know, like they cut right to it.
Right.
They can like sniff out what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, totally.
Like, so kids, I always say, taught me everything. I grew an ed tech company with my family to over 700 locations. And then I grew a fitness business with my husband. And again, people would come in for a physical experience, but I could tell we were shifting them emotionally and mentally. So I'd create all these mindset classes around that, you know, and just how do you keep shifting the physical reality mentally and emotionally, first inside out.
Okay, so let's bring it to real estate.
Yeah, yes.
First to real estate agents, mm-hmm. because for people who are your clients who really absorb a lot of other people's fear, paranoia, you know, I know we wear a million hats. Mm-hmm. We always have to be super, we can't just like be expressive. We can't say what we want to say like the kids.
Yeah.
We have to be classier than that and politically correct and follow the rules and do that. And sometimes you just want to say, hey, you're being a douchebag right now. Like, mm-hmm. stop being crazy. But mm-hmm. we can't do that. So we have to like be, like I said, classy,
diplomatic,
and we have to try and put ourselves in other people's shoes in order for us to psychologically be able to cope mm-hmm. with the volume of emotional weight that is put on us every day. And I know that sounds heavy, and I don't think people who are just getting their license understand this part right. of real estate yet, but those of us who've been in the business for over a decade and do volume, we do. And it's hard.
Right, I could see how sometimes like it could feel like, especially for maybe new people starting out, that you're under attack, like when you're meant to be on the same side as
oh, yeah.
the client, and suddenly they're poking at you for what yeah. you are doing or not doing, or you know that you need to be doing more of something.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel defensive, yeah. like your clients don't feel necessarily like you're fighting hard enough for them mm-hmm. when you're really trying to keep mm-hmm. it realistic for them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it feels like you are so on the side of your client that you are at war.
Yeah, I would say in those instances, it's really from a mindset perspective. It's important to then think bigger. What outcome deserves my attention? Those five words. What outcome deserves my attention? If you find that you are fighting against what you desire with them, and then you're not thinking big enough. You actually have to go broader to the outcome being like, I imagine myself, you know, handing the keys, signing the paperwork, and you got to keep, you know, visualizing that experience that you both want. So there's an outcome that you both desire, mm-hmm. and you got to mm-hmm. be in the energy of that version of you. So you don't tolerate and all that stuff. Like otherwise they're gonna come at you and they're gonna test you just like kids in a classroom mm-hmm. would test a teacher.
Yeah.
They're gonna test like how well you hold the line, like mm-hmm. when you draw a line, you know, of your own self-respect. And mm-hmm. you know, are they asking you to change your behaviors to please them?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you shift all the behaviors towards the outcome you want? And that's really the direction you need to be going.
Do you think like setting, like verbally, actually setting it, like setting outcomes with your clients, it makes sense to do saying something like, listen, I'm just gonna let you know throughout this process, there are gonna be times when blah, 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 but just so you know,
yes.
this is what my objective is, the same as yours. So we might accomplish getting there like different ways because I have different experience and this is my science.
Totally.
Yeah, something
brilliant. I mean, I just came back, I just did a vision casting event up at Google. I work with this amazing team. Same thing. Like, so any company, you're always having to think bigger, go broader, like set the expectations, set the vision. You have to be really good. Your vision casting, they're buying a dream, you know, like you're
right.
helping them like with that process. That's an amazing thing. They're gonna create
it
life
is.
In this new home.
I know, and, that's you know, what we love. I mean, that's the part we love,
exactly.
is the happy part.
So that's the
but
part you gotta
the
hold
getting
on
there.
To.
You gotta go through yeah. so much fear and torture to get
yeah.
there sometimes. Really, I mean, I think, I don't know if I'm, it's not all the time, okay? I'm being a little bit dramatic to make the point, but it's like, I do think that sometimes people make the process very hard on themselves, and we're not mindset coaches. So, you know, we can give our coaching, but maybe there's a tool in there.
Absolutely. I would say the tool should be set from the beginning of setting an expectation of, you know, what you are willing to do, not willing to do. Hey, I answer the phone until 9:30 p.m. or, you know, 10 p.m. or,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Or otherwise you're always going to be at the mercy
right,
of
the like,
you know, but hey, I'm on your side. And
right.
I think that's so important with any team and any company to always be like, I'm on your side. Like,
right.
you know, we're moving the ball down the field to the same
right,
goal.
The same destination.
Yeah. yeah.
And maybe have that be something that we discuss with clients in the beginning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have
yeah.
a little mind coach session.
Yeah. yeah.
There's just a few.
Like notes
there's
from the mind coach.
Exactly. Yeah.
A mindset coach
yes.
on buying real estate.
So
okay.
We will
or
be
selling
on a bumpy
real estate.
Road together.
Right.
But
there's,
our goal is to get you keys. My goal is to get you keys. Let's work together
exactly.
to get to those keys. And throughout the transaction is something we can remind them. Remember how we talked about getting
yeah.
to that goal?
Yeah.
Let's work together to do
right.
that.
Right.
And then maybe that will remind some people when they get a little bit caught up in their own fear right. during a transaction right. that
yeah.
that could be really helpful.
Yeah. Right. Like I coach a lot of pro athletes, the same idea. It is like, how do I handle something when it, like that person is pushing against, you got to mentally rehearse it. So all of the real estate agents should be mentally rehearsing when adversity pops up or when something difficult and a challenge is going to pop up. We already know it. Are you going to have the same reaction? You're going to throw your hands up in the air. You're just going to talk about the clients and blah, 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 blah. Or are you going to be like, but we're in the problem solving business. We're in the, you know, home like dream business. Like you can shift the whole
narrative
to, of course this is going to happen, but mm-hmm. this is how we handle these hurdles. This is what makes us different as a realtor.
You know what this reminds me of? This one time I remember having, I don't remember where it came from, but somebody said, why do you think somebody's not going to cut you off in traffic? Like where in the book of life was it like, by the way, they're courteous drivers, you'll never get cut off. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they were saying that is to show how ridiculous it is to get so upset when someone cuts you off as if you've been wronged, yeah. as if like, how could this happen? You know, you're flicking people off and you're, totally. you know, and you yeah. get so upset about it, but it's like nobody promised you that this was going to be,
yeah.
that you were never going to get cut off. And so that's stupid.
It is.
You're similar.
Right. Expect the unexpected.
Right.
If you know what's going to happen, like, is that really putting you in the best mindset? Like, is that really going to throw you into the most positive swirl?
Or like when something bad happens, think to yourself, you know, is it normal for something like, where was I promised along the way that there wouldn't be something that comes up? Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We know how to solve things, you know? Mm-hmm. If there was a problem, yo, we'll solve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people are really nitpicky on like when they get the red light, when they get like someone cuts you off. Versus yeah. being nitpicky on like, hey, I just got like 5 green lights in a row. Like a lot of us don't celebrate our accomplishments
right. mm-hmm.
as much as we nitpick That's our
true.
Problems.
Right, that is true.
Yeah.
Yes. How long does it take to change your mindset?
I would say in a perspective flip, you can do it immediately. You can have these aha moments because they say it takes 21 days to change a physical habit, you know,
smoking or something.
This and that, like start 21 days to, you know, shift things habitually. However, I always tell people like, you know, who are in my mindset classes and programs, all it takes is a change in perspective. So if you are open to expanding your perspective, thinking different, you know, expanding your mindset, you can expand yourself quickly. Like it just, you know, I'm the one that like generates new results fast because I don't believe it has to be. It might've taken you 40 years to get stuck, but, or decades of stuckness does right. not mean like the moment yeah. you wake up, define the line of change and you're like, I'm gonna tap into solutions versus exhaust myself in my problems.
Right.
So many people are just exhausting themselves in their problems all
It's
day.
So easy to do, isn't it? Is, I mean, my grandfather easy. Said something to me. He was my grandma's husband and I hadn't really known him very much in my life. And then I met him when I was like 18 in an adult way. You know, and he said, well, you know, Courtney, how are you doing out there in LA? And I was like, this is Bob. And I said, I'm all right. You know, it's a struggle. Like I was really broke and just, you know, working 5 jobs and taking acting class and whatever. And he said, well, beware the ecstasy and the inertia of defeat. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that is really deep. But I think I understand it to mean there's a pleasure in being a victim. There's a pleasure in feeling like you're defeated somehow. There's something in there, in the energy of it, where you secretly enjoy complaining. I mean, there's something in there.
There's a camaraderie that happens in our society.
I was just gonna say,
I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And like, I'm super like strong, like Jersey, even though I live now in Malibu, I'm like feeling the vacay vibes now. But but like, there's like the directness of, you know, mm-hmm. I go back and sometimes like, it's like this, there's a lot of people that are complaining or unhappy. And like, mm-hmm. you could really feel like different, you know, ways of, am I going to participate in that? Does it make me feel good? Does it not make me feel good? Mm-hmm. Do I want to get in on this? But what your grandfather said is that inertia, a lot of people right. like need to get things to be so bad to be like, see, like to, here's all the evidence. Now I'm ready for change. Like I'm so bad now on my diet or exercise, or I'm so bad now mm-hmm. in my bank account that I like, you're forcing yourself to change because you're used to like a yo-yo effect mm-hmm. versus like you don't have to hit the bottom
to change.
Push the inertia in the other direction. You
right.
could just, I kind of developed like the life of the better and better, or the better than expected, where you can just start riding a wave like consciously by putting more effort into what you're participating in, where your thoughts are going, where your energy is going, where your outcomes are focused.
I love that, where your thoughts are going. It is so important. It is, you move into the directions of your most dominant thoughts.
Exactly.
That is easier said than done.
It's a practice.
It's a practice.
It's a practice.
It's a reminder, constant reminder, do that, you know, be more mindful, be more
Most people present. Are not super aware of their thoughts, but their right. thoughts are coming in based on what they're already feeling. It's just they weren't knowing they were frustrated until their frustrated thoughts started pouring in. Uh-huh. And then it's like creates that loop between like frustrated thoughts and frustrated feelings that they just don't know how to get out of.
Uh-huh. I'm curious, how does, so, you know, one of the things that we talked about is that like as agents, we receive all of these energies and all of these fears and all of that. And I'm curious, like as agents, right? Like how do we, whenever the reception of the energy is so draining, mm-hmm. find the energy to put into changing our like perspective in a more positive way?
That's a great question. It's an indication, usually, if you're being like your energy's feeling like it's being sucked, mm-hmm. that it's usually then that you are participating in the energies of the problems that you're being brought, where you, what you need to do in those moments is create a clearer, more defined vision for yourself and who you want to be in your role as a real estate agent, and then protect that role. No, at all costs. Like, you got to be the guardian, I always say, of your own vision, how you want to hold yourself when that line, like, you know, if you draw a line, that line goes around you. I always say, like, you don't have to draw lines about around people's behaviors. They're always going to come testing you. Most people are like feverishly being like, don't act like this or don't do it like this, and then I'll be happy. But that's not what you want to do. Otherwise, you'll feel powerless in those moments. If you really want to maintain the integrity of your energy, it is about crafting a very clear vision of where you want to be going in terms of your career and how you see yourself, how you want to walk in the room, no matter how people are behaving around you. And then if they behave that way, again, you can already have mentally rehearsed some of the expectations and things, knowing, you know, there's going to be challenges, but how are you going to hold that positive space? How are you going to respond to those challenges? Are you going to get sucked down into it? Or are you going to respond from a level of like, yeah, I see it, like in a more matter-of-fact way, but like, but this is where I see ourselves still going beyond it. So it's a language shift that helps whoever is bringing the problem to you, like to help them visualize the solution that you're holding onto. It's a process.
I love that. You know, I appreciate that answer because I feel like as agents, that's like one of the biggest hurdles, is trying to like keep your inner peace mm-hmm. while being like in chaos constantly. You know, so like that's super
like
helpful.
A life hurdle.
It's
like
true.
How do I set a line and hold my line and then not move it when someone's asking me to tolerate something I don't want to tolerate, or give up something that I don't want to give up? And respecting the line is respecting yourself. It's deep.
That it is deep. Wow. And it also is respecting yourself and respecting that line. But sometimes you feel like you have to please your client.
Right.
And then we're more willing to maybe make this line, maybe this like an imaginary circle around us.
Yes.
Make it a little shorter.
Exactly.
Because we feel like we want to please our client. So there's that little dance happening mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But really holding the line is the thing.
Holding the line, but not in a power struggle way, mm-hmm. in a protective way. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, like, be guardian of your vision. Because when you step into it, you're actually stepping into a greater level of self-esteem, self-confidence. You just, like, you kind of, like, demand, this is how I am. This is how things roll. Like, I don't get knocked off by these problems. I hear your problem. But if you respond in a more matter-of-fact energy, like, I hear you, they need to be heard. You know, I see that problem exists, it needs to be resolved, but this is the direction, again, back to the original expectations, that we're all moving this towards something that we both want, the keys to this house in your hand, you know, signed on the dotted line, all done. You know, you just got to keep reminding them, here's the vision. Of course, mm-hmm. these ups and downs happen, but like, this is my role in this process for you. And the more you give up that line and don't respect it, you create these power struggles, you actually will manifest more challenges.
Wow. Interesting. That is interesting. I know people like that who make bigger problems for themselves. I mean, I think it happens all the time. I'm not just talking real estate. I just think there are people who like they aren't in this in the energy of the solution part. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're testing themselves versus trusting themselves.
Yeah,
and those tests are a test of their own strength. So that it's very often in a like world of manifesting where you're like, why do I keep getting this setback, or why do I keep like receiving this challenge? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, where is your participation in it? Like sometimes things come your way again because you got to set boundaries and lines and different things and like decide that you're ready to rise above the challenge, rise over it. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I agree with you that sometimes people get so practiced in always having challenges or complaining about things that it becomes their way of being.
Right. Mm-hmm. And totally.
It's constantly testing themselves. And it keeps going wrong for the same person.
Right. It's like they make things go wrong.
Yeah. Like, of course this happened to you because you ask for it.
Yeah. You're,
right.
You're you already putting to, the like, snowball in that direction.
Yeah. To give you that life force to have something
so you
to
can complain.
So you can complain about
it. You like it.
Whereas like you could use it differently. I have one tool called the Flip It List that I do with everybody where you just fold a piece of paper in half and on the top right, flip it. And on the left side, like once it's folded, you write, clearly don't want. And you write 1, 2, and 3, the 3 things that are like bothering you the most, the 3 problems that you might be experiencing as a real estate agent, like all the things that might be going wrong. But then you can draw lines through the page. And on the right side, you write, I clearly desire. And you look at your top 3 problems and you could be like, wow, that's what's sucking my energy. Mm-hmm. Is that really where I want to be participating? And so through the Flip It List, you can identify the 3 solutions, which is the exact opposite to your problems. Right. And you can see, like, am I pouring my energy on this side or am I pouring my energy on this side? And it's one of my, like, easiest tools for people to learn to be like, where are you putting your energy? Where are your thoughts going? Where are you moving things towards the outcome you want? Or are you always fighting against what you don't want? Mm-hmm. Most people are fighting against what they don't want.
So we have to always also remind ourselves when we get on a negative track, like, hey.
Yeah.
Right. Flip it.
Pull it back in.
Flip it. Yeah, it's normal, but there's a flip it. It is a scientific fact. There's a positive to every negative. Mm-hmm. And that challenge might be coming to you to accelerate you to the positive. Like sometimes the problem of like a leaky pipe or something in the house is only to like fix the plumbing. You know, like it's still like it could be flipped to a solution. It's like, you know, we don't love it happening, but sometimes it accelerates you to the actual solution that, you know, might be best for everyone. So don't think that a negative is always wrong. Sometimes it's there to prompt you.
What do you think are the most popular limiting beliefs you come across?
I think that one of the most popular limiting beliefs is I am not enough, so let me do more. And so a lot of times people are overworking in like a need to prove themselves energy to themselves or one another, or like if I get this accolade, then I'll feel better about myself.
Oh yeah.
When you could have really just felt better about yourself
without the accolade and all the overwork.
And you'd actually attract it faster. So, you know, in terms of me accelerating people to their vision, it's usually one of the fastest things because I can teach people to access the feeling that goes with the thoughts they want that like manifest them into the dream house. Like that's how I got to Malibu, California from my little apartment in Denver. I was like, I would look out and I'd be like, this is not what I want. I do not want to see mountains. I do not want to be freezing, you know, like, but it's just, you know, you do the flip it and then you keep recognizing like, what do I want to feel? Oh, I want to feel abundant. I want to feel, you know, whatever the ocean would make me feel. I want to feel calm and peaceful. So I started to access the feelings that would accelerate me to the vision of living this beach life in this beautiful place. And I reverse manifested the house even, that same method. I would be like, where's the house that wants my 3 boys like wrestling in the living room and you know, the energy of that. So if you can tap into the feelings that the thing would give you, like you would get yourself there faster because a lot of people in terms of limiting beliefs think that like it has to be a struggle, it has to be hard. And I'm not saying that challenges don't come.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be hard and long. Like, it doesn't have to be like this long, arduous process. You could get there faster.
Well, don't you think there are industries that make it seem like it has to be hard because their money is based on it being hard?
Yeah, I mean, you could even say me in the coaching industry, I could be like, oh, and this, and you have to follow me because, and I have a very different approach. I'm like, you have all the answers inside of you. You have every solution you need. Like, I'm here to just untap, like, your power. Like, so you don't need me. You know, otherwise, like, it would be just, like, even in my industry. Like, oh, you have this problem? I have the answers. I'm like, no, you have the answers.
Well, I mean, we're so much that if we're missing this piece, that there's a pill for that, or there's a psychiatrist for that, or there's a, you know, there's something out there. Yeah. Maybe it's in my skin. Maybe it's I need a Brazilian butt lift. Yeah. I don't know. Something's going to make me feel the better about myself. Yeah.
Back
and they're
point.
Selling it to us, you know, as opposed to us just waking up in the morning and accepting that we have it
power.
Inside of us. Yeah. Well, what happens? How disruptive is it if we all are there?
Oh, it would destroy it. Huge industries.
Yeah,
we would wake up one day and realize
and love ourselves
the way we are.
Yeah,
I mean, I think things are shifting. I believe things that people are like looking internally now and being like, all right, there's got to be a piece that like I'm part of the equation here. How can I, you know, again, remove these limiting beliefs? Another one that people have is people are obsessed with how. Like, show me the path. Like, exactly.
Right.
Show me the tool.
Right.
Let me buy the thing. Like,
right.
Can you just give it to me so I don't have to do the hard work
right.
and find it inside myself to unhinge this myself? So, you know, people are very obsessed with, and so I've created a how to map because
that's what they wanted.
Like, from a logical brain perspective, it feeds the part of the brain that's analytical, wants to measure, that wants to know, like, the framework. But it's usually very limiting. You know, when I like help people get to another stratosphere or manifest like beyond their wildest dreams, like seeing the path how is going to limit you only to that path. Like,
right.
You won't get to the next stratosphere of your potential. So it's kind of a fun dance that I teach people to open their heart to themselves and like tap into their emotional power and strength of the vision and dreams that are inside their heart, but also like release the how. Like when you want to hyper control the process because things are starting to go in the wrong negative direction and most people then like take ultra amounts of control to like hyper control. That was me like years ago being like, I could just do everything. And then you get exhausted and scattered and overwhelmed.
Oh yeah.
But it's really a releasing of like the how it's going to happen and put your energy more again back into the clear vision that you want to manifest. So most people are not doing that. They're not like, well, I'm like, what color shirt will I be wearing when I open up my dream house in Malibu and like I'm in the kitchen?
What's your
cutting board?
You like, did?
Yeah. And I started with a cutting board. Like you can, like a real estate agent in New Jersey, when I first sold my house there, like gave me this cutting board. And I'm like, this is going to be the cutting board in my future dream house. And I've literally carried it to like apartments, Denver, all over
the place.
Wow. But like you can bring these pieces to you and be like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but this cutting board's going to live in this future house. So there's like lots of little like techniques you could do like that.
Love that. Love that. How can people find you and sign up for your courses?
I do a private group coaching experience where I coach people online. And then I have like online digital courses on my website, which is Strong Confident Living.
StrongConfidentLiving.com.
Yep.
Okay,
great. Do you also do one-on-one coaching?
In person? I coach, you know, a few. Like, I know my purpose here on the planet is to reach, like, a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I design courses and digital content that can, you know, reach tons of people at once. I have thousands of people in my classes at once, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I do a little bit of one-on-one, but not a lot. I mean, you know, I'll have different, like, people reach out to me and but
do you work with children or teenagers?
I do. So yeah, I even coach all the way to Australia. I coach some kids on the national team in Australia for gymnastics.
Wow.
Like, it's like, I coach people. People literally find me from all over the world. It's amazing.
Wonderful.
Literally, this should be a class in schools.
I launched Mindset School this year, and that is like my experience where I coach in like these weekly classes that I offer where I post my digital content. People can watch it on their own or they can, you know, hop on video with me where I do a live Q&A and I do a workshop once a month for kids and teens.
I love that.
Bring
that
to my daughter's school.
I think this should be required.
These girls would need this so much.
They absolutely need it.
A health class where they discuss all what's getting more into that field, but I think something like this is not part of it.
Totally. Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think, like, you know, like, I was listening to this Audible book this morning, and, you know, one of the things that they were talking about, it's called The 5 a.m. Club, which is, like, you know, a popular book. But, you know, one of the things that they were talking about is how adults become, like, you know, you start out with this very open mindset as a kid, you know, kind of like, I can do anything, I can be anything. But as the world beats you down into a box, you lose that mindset. And it's just like, if they were taught this way of thinking,
yes,
it could get them away from ever getting into the box that now you have to find your way out of, you know?
I mean, but do you think there has a shift been happening lately where it's not as... I know when I grew up in the 80s in Germany, I mean, it's definitely box. It's don't stick your head up too far. Just, you know, have good grades and that's all you need to do.
I think people are still in their boxes. Is 100%.
You wouldn't think that this... Like, you don't think that things have shifted a little bit?
No, I think that's why people are on pills and are suicidal and depressed and shooting each other up
but the
at gas stations by my house.
Right, but the awareness that we have happy. Now, I feel like I never heard these things in the 80s or 90s about
that's
all
true.
Those things.
Yeah, I mean, I started designing my mindset classes in 2010. Okay. With the intent that I'm like, maybe in 2020, in 10 years, the world will start being ready for my content. I had no idea what was going to happen in 2020, but I started developing all my mindset classes then. So, like, I do think, you know, if you said mindset stuff back then, like, no one even... It's manifesting. It's kind of a good buzz of, like, what's happening now. People are like, how do I manifest? You know, how do I create a new result? Mm-hmm. Like, are my thoughts powerful? You know, where am I putting my focus energy? I mean, it depends on what you tap into. I think that there's a shift happening. I think there's a lot of destruction happening. And I think that's opening our eyes to, like, what can we do to create change, massive change.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I also think there used to be things for change, self-change, like whether it was religion or cults or, you know, self-help workshops, or like there were all these things where people would talk about things in the past. I really think it started with religion. Like, that was a place where you could be reborn. And now I think so many people have gone away from and seen the kind of con in a lot of
religion.
Religions, people, you know, and so they're looking for something now, maybe, but there are so many things to sell them. I mean, you can, you know, I think this idea that you actually have these tools inside yourself, and once you recognize them and you have that, you can always use that. You don't have to keep tithing. You know?
The amazing thing about shifting your mindset is that you realize you can go from powerless to powerful. Is that, like, you can make the flip from, like, where you're feeling weak to where you're feeling strong. And there is a, like, there's a roadmap, you know, in terms of getting there that is a lot simpler than most people think. That it like imagination and intuition and where your thoughts are going and what your outcomes are, you know, that you're outlining, just bringing that more into a greater awareness can really shift things quickly.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, say your website one more time.
It's strongconfidentliving.com.
Strongconfidentliving.com. You have an IG?
Yep. So it's Laura St. John _44. And on TikTok, Laura St. John, kind of growing really big on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Really, all my little videos, all my little 1 minute snippets.
Oh, cool. We'll put all that in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining
and
us.
And we'll give your listeners a special, like, to start.
A special. Okay.
Yeah. So just check it out.
Great. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. Okay, well, any career
has that.
That you will have your challenges. You will need coping. You will need to figure out how to manifest or have
or even better than coping. Better than coping. It's just, like, be in the solution. Like, I love that what she said. Solution. Being in the solution. Because we can dig deeply into the problems. I mean, we can talk all day about a particularly annoying thing or something that frustrates us, you know. But that's easy. And I think the harder work is being like, yeah, that happened. And we'll fix it. And let's go have dinner with our kids and our families and enjoy, you know, playing top golf, even though the management messed it up. Yeah. Nobody ever promised me it was going to be better than that. You know, it's like, why am I so disappointed?
Also, the fact that you can change your thinking so fast. It's just like one thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's just one thing.
It has to
click. I think that shifts your whole energy. I can see how it could do that.
Yeah.
Because even me, in that act of whenever I receive information that kind of, like, hurts my feelings or is meant to hurt my feelings, more like that, I can see when people are trying to intentionally hurt me. I'm strong. People know that. And I think that strength allows for people who are petty or, you know, like, you know, clicky or something. They like to attack that energy. And so I feel like sometimes I get that, but I don't let it inside. All I do is acknowledge you're trying to do it. Mentally, I'm like, I see you trying to make me feel a certain type of way. I'm not going for it. You know, I'm just not. I don't have any space in my energy for that negativity. I just don't have it. But yeah, I mean, definitely with pregnancy hormones and the challenges of this market together, it's been harder to keep it all together.
Yeah. I think the last couple of years have just been really intense. Really intense, just overall with like pandemic things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then just getting back into the flow of like, you know, well, whatever normalcy looks like. But, you know, like I want to take what she said and just all the things that I'm learning, because I feel like a lot of this is coming up, like with the podcast that, you know, that we talked about. And, you know, like just different books that I'm, you know, listening to or reading or whatever, you know. But I want to apply it more personally, you know, not just in regards
work,
to business, because
to your personal
life. I am not just business.
No,
I am not just a realtor. I'm a human. And I think the problem is
you're superhuman.
Once you are in a position, once you're in a job position, all of a sudden you are that job.
Yes.
You're an editor, you're a photographer, you're a videographer, but are you you? You know what I mean?
Right.
Am I me? And I'm not me right now.
Right.
And that's what I want to dig to. So I'm like, I want to take what she just said and I want to flip it. I want to flip all this, you know what I mean? Into a more, into the original version of myself that I used to love.
Yeah.
But I think that will happen when we can figure out a better way to deal with all the things. Then it will free up the time to be you, and it'll free up the time for me.
Or the emotional energy.
That's the thing.
Emotional energy.
I have to free up.
Yeah.
Because it is heavy.
Yeah.
It is a weighted blanket that covers you all day.
Yeah.
Like that is what I need.
That's what you need to get rid of.
Yeah.
I can't wait to meet the new you. Or the
well, it'll
old
be a
you,
reintroduction.
The old you,
You're gonna be buying me little clothes and loving me,
like you used to.
That's what I used to do when she's a little baby.
No,
well,
but seriously,
it's just taking more time. Yeah. Also, like addressing your partner at home, not always being sidetracked.
Right.
Being able when the kids walk up to me, I'm usually like
present.
And this time, I'm going to make a decision of being like, okay, I'm going to just stop what
down.
I'm doing. And look at you. And,
yeah.
Okay, what is it you're telling me?
Right.
And be there, present.
Right. That's the hardest thing.
And that is the thing that I need.
Well, let's
to
hold
walk
each other accountable and we'll hold you guys accountable too. Thank you for sitting in with us on this living room version of Under All Is the Land. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Under All Is the Land, real estate. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself.